Hey everyone, and welcome to Everyday Woodworking, your podcast home for discussions about the craft, business, and love of woodworking, both as a pro and as a hobbyist. I'm your host, Ricky Fitzpatrick. I am a woodworker and the owner of Apple Valley Farm, where we make handmade crafts and decor. I've been woodworking most of my adult life, and now, with Everyday Woodworking, I have the opportunity to share my experience, my thoughts, and even my challenges with you. And I can't wait for you to join me right here for the next episode of Everyday Woodworking. Well, hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Have you been following me on Facebook? If not, shame on you. You definitely need to join up with us in the Everyday Woodworking group over there. And the reason I'm telling you that is because I've been posting all week in there about all the cool stuff we've got coming up. It really is kind of the best way to stay in touch with me between shows, just to get some extra information, stuff like that. So in case you're not already there, or if you are there, and in case you don't remember, we have been working on several guest interviews here for some upcoming episodes, and two of those came together this last week. One of them was with Roy Underhill. I cannot believe it. And the other one was with Phil Huber and Chris Fitch. They're both hosts of the Woodsmith Shop, the TV show The Woodsmith Shop, and then they're associated with Woodsmith Magazine. Those two interviews were pretty amazing. They were very different, very interesting. I loved them. I was a little starstruck in both of them for different reasons. But they really just turned out just wonderfully. I really enjoyed it. And I'm in the process of editing them now and getting everything put together, getting all of our sponsors put together for those episodes. And then we'll be rolling those out, oh, hopefully in the next week or two. So, it was pretty surreal, just kind of wrapping my head around, you know, all those conversations there and trying to stay informal, but, you know, shaking my nerves at the same time. But in the end, it really all came together well, very well. So Roy, Phil, and Chris, they were all fantastic interviewees, and they shared a ton of knowledge and wisdom, and you definitely want to stay close and listen for those episodes. And as I said, they're going to be coming out probably starting next week. So very, very exciting, very fun. And dude, I'm just blessed to be able to be doing stuff like that. Just a lot of fun. So that is a fact. We also started using, just FYI, we started using, or I should say trying to use, a new recording platform that records our remote interviews. And it does it in the cloud. It applies a host of like automatic editing effects, and it's called Riverside.fm. And frankly, I liked it. I liked it a lot. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to live without it. So anyway, so far it's amazing, but we're still tiptoeing through it. So, you know, I don't know enough to really say good, bad, or otherwise about it. But so far, we're very impressed. But more to come with Riverside FM as we dig deeper into that functionality. And I'll be sharing some stuff with you as we learn. Then, on top of all that, hey, we've got this week's show. This week, we're going to be talking about, in my opinion, probably one of, if not the biggest challenge that woodworkers who sell their wares face. If you sell your work, either as a full-time profession or as a side hustle, at festivals and fairs or online or all of the above, then this is a subject that will hit home. I know it will, because it gets me right where it hits me. And that is coming up. It's coming up. We're going to jump into all of that in just a second. But before we do, let's take a quick break. Hey guys, Ricky with Everyday Woodworking. Hey, your support makes it possible for Everyday Woodworking to continue to be on the air. We would love it if you blessed us with your financial support through our friends over at Patreon. Monthly support starts at just $5 a month, and your support makes it possible for us to continue to do what we do. Have a great day, and thank you so much. Visit us at patreon.com/everydaywoodworking. All right, welcome back. I know you're dying to find out what I'm talking about today. Well, you know, that is if you haven't read the title of the podcast. So if you've done that, you already know what I'm going to be talking about. But this week, we are looking at simply what sells, or actually more accurately, what sells with a question mark. That's the question we're all asking ourselves. I mean, that is, if you sell your woodwork, that is the question you're asking yourself. That's the question I'm asking myself. So, and let me preface this. Okay, let me go ahead and just say, we're going to look at this from a purely business point of view. I'm not even going to bring up things like satisfaction and personal pride or emotional involvement or investment, or the psychological benefits and effects of doing what you love versus what you don't and things like that. And I mention this because all of that stuff for me, is a very important factor in deciding what I do. It could be the most important set of factors, the factors that fall outside of the business and the actual craft of woodworking. So those factors are very important to me. But for the moment, I'm going to look at this just the black and white of it, just purely from a business point of view. Okay, so the idea that we just work in a social bubble, so to speak, and we make what brings us like peace and contentment, man, and the world just responds to that, and they support us financially because they share in our happiness. That's fantasy. That's just a fantasy. Does it happen? Yes, of course it happens. It definitely does, but it's only like 1% of 1% of the time. And I mean, so how do you pay your bills, or at least cover your expenses the rest of the time when it doesn't work? So what we want to do, or what we want and we need to do, is have some sort of a glimpse into what our clients and potential customers actually want before we make it, right? Well, hallelujah. I mean, I don't know if you knew this or not, but there's already a way you can do exactly that. I bet you didn't know that. Absolutely. Just Google something like woodworking projects that sell, and you'll get like 25 gajillion search results. Most of those are guaranteeing you absolute insight into the buying habits of the global customer. I mean, you know, so I pulled up. Let me just show you or tell you some of the things that I found when I Googled. These are some of the top things. When I Googled woodworking projects that sell, this is what comes up, the titles. 35 woodworking projects that will sell. Great. 50 woodworking projects that will make you rich. Wow. 17 woodworking crafts that people want. These are great insights. And my favorite, 150 woodworking plans that will make you money. Wow. Who knew? Okay. I mean, if you haven't picked up on my sarcasm, I'm kidding. If it was that easy, everybody would be doing it. Well, okay, so actually, let me rephrase that. Actually, it probably was that easy, and everybody is already doing it. That's why you can't sell these things, because the market is just saturated. So yes, you'll use Google, you'll use a dozen other resources to help you find products that pose the least risk for you in business and the greatest chance for profit. Okay, you're going to research and find these things out, but there's still no crystal ball. At the end of the day, you're going to make an educated guess based on the information you've got. So, I mean, you may be saying like, okay, so like what kind of things are you talking about? Okay, well, so let's pull up a few of the most popular, the most guaranteed surefire money in the bank projects. Please. Okay. We're going to pull from an article entitled 23 genius woodworking projects that sell in 2021. Well, okay. Obviously, we're about to get some amazing information here, right? So, one of the first things I see is, as we get into it, here we go. A wine rack. A wine rack. Nice. Simple. Functional wooden rack. It holds a few bottles of wine. Got some slots so you can hang some stemware up underneath it. You know, hey, I like it. I don't dislike it. It checks a lot of my research boxes. It's simple. It's rustic, which I like. It's affordable to make. Potentially profitable. Okay. What about popularity? Or even better, let's just say, what about trendiness? Okay, because a popular item will sit in your shop for 6 months, but a trendy item will sell faster than you can make it. Okay, so how trendy is this? Well, a rustic DIY type wine rack been made and circulated on Pinterest and everywhere for at least the last 5 years. It's just, frankly, this is not trendy any longer. Okay. Do they sell still? Yes, they do. You bet they do. But do they sell enough to make it worth your while to build a dozen of them? Probably not. You may sell like one or two, then it's over. The novelty of it to your existing customer base, then it's over. You're going to sell to a tiny sliver of those people, and then everyone's moving on. Again, that's just not a smart way to structure business. So let me back up. Okay, can you make money selling one or two of this and then one or two of that? Yeah, you can. That's how I have done it for the last 5 years in our woodworking business. But that's hard. It's hard. That is hard work, Jack. You'll never find an efficient workflow like that. You have to hone in and focus on a handful of items that you can build a process around. So you can make, say, 50 of those things at once, or better yet, have 50 of those things made and then actually sell all of them. So if you get a dozen products like that, well, now you're doing something. Okay. Anyway, so wine rack. Okay. Back to the genius list we go. Okay. Now let's take something here that we make in our woodworking business. Cutting boards. Cutting boards are, in fact, both popular and trendy. Great. That's one. Check. We make those in our shop, and we sell them. We do. Although we don't sell as many now as we did a year ago. They are falling off. Part of that reason is probably multifold. A lot more people are making them. That's one reason. And number two, a lot of people already have them. So, and then another reason would be the consumer demand right now, as far as the cutting board part of things, is shifting away from like traditional cutting boards, like rectangular or even round cutting boards, and it's moving towards these novel shapes or live edge or, you know, something like that. And that's just not something that we've been able to adapt to. So the cutting boards we make right now are still square or rectangular in nature. I like to think they're very well made, but, you know, they're not as trendy as they once were. So what's happening? Our sales are down. Okay. So can you take a cutting board and can you make a fortune selling those cutting boards? So are cutting and charcuterie boards a good item for this subject? Okay. In my opinion, I would say probably yes. Okay. And it's a hesitant yes, but I would say yes, because that's only if you can set yourself apart with either your price or your design, or by using material, whether that's wood or epoxy or a mixture or some other things, some material that has such a compelling story or a history that it just compels people to buy those things. So, okay, so that's a thumbs up for cutting board, but with that caveat, okay? Moving on down the list, a chessboard with a sliding cover case. Come on. Seriously? A chessboard? I don't know. Do people even know how to play chess anymore? I think my generation was maybe the last. Oh, my. Okay. All right. Let's say you have the skill to make a dual wood species chessboard, which if you're making cutting boards, then you probably already have the skill set and the technique probably to be able to do that, because the technique would be very similar to just making an end grain cutting board. So that, hey, that's doable. That's doable. Then though, you've got to build a storage box for that board/lid to slide into. And then according to the article, that box is going to have little storage compartments in there for each one of the little pieces, which, by the way, you will also turn and craft by hand individually. And then when you're finished, you're going to have like 30 hours in this thing, and it's going to cost you $100 in material. If I search for handmade wooden chessboard on Google, okay, most of the results that pop up, they're in about the $150 to $200 range. And in my experience in selling, that is about what you can count on. You kind of get a good average idea, because that's what your customers are doing. Before they buy from you, they're Google. I promise you, they're going to Google, they're going to Etsy, they're going on eBay, they're doing their research. 99 times out of 100, they know what a fair market price is for that thing that you're about to try to sell them. They already know. So you need to know what they already know. So if they're seeing these in the $150 to $200 price range, that's what they're going to be expecting to pay. That's what you're going to have to sell them for. Yeah, I mean, there's one on there for like $1,700, but you ain't never going to do that. You know, you and I both know that's an exception. That's not the rule. So let's say you can sell yours for the top of that average. Let's not say $200. Let's double it. Okay, let's say yours is just off the hook exceptional, and you can sell yours for $400, all right? So you got a $400 sale, and I take $100 out of that for your materials, okay? That leaves $300. Now you spent 30 hours, making that thing. So that puts you at making, you don't have to be a mathematical genius to figure this out. That puts you making $10 an hour. And now that doesn't even include like the time and the cost of going to the store or wherever you have to go to get those materials. And then like maybe the cost of the electricity to run all your tools for 30 hours in your shop. And then the depreciated cost of all of those tools that you had to buy at some point. So, hey man, if $10 an hour gross is good with you, then more power to you. But for me, I'm out. I'm not doing that. I can't do that. My family can't survive off of that. You can make more than that at your local fast food place and get a bonus right now for being there. Come on. So And on top of all that, I can't keep my passion alive as a craftsman and as a business owner. So, chessboard, come on. Okay, that's out. All right. Let's do one more. The next one, picture frames. Picture frames. Now, this, I'm kind of on the fence about picture frames because we actually make picture frames as well. However, we don't sell, we're not in the frame business, okay? So, like, you can't bring your thing to us, your artwork or whatever, and say, oh, would you frame this? No. Now, we don't do that. We don't cut mats. We don't do all that stuff. We do sell maybe artwork that we do that we package in a frame that we make, and then we sell that as one unit, and that's profitable, okay? A picture frame, as this list suggests, it's not terribly difficult to make, especially the ones that we make. We use like butt joints, so we don't even cut miters for ours. We just use butt joints. We make a rustic frame out of reclaimed wood of some sort. And then, I mean, as long as our ends are square and we use the router to cut a rabbit, and as long as that's deep enough for the artwork to fit into, then that's pretty much it, you know, and everything works like a charm. The problem with picture frames is that, so like the wine rack, people do still buy picture frames, but the market is so saturated and the demand is very low. And that's why, I mean, I've got a friend that owns a frame shop. And when I go down there, maybe to get something specialized done, you know, we usually stand around for an hour and talk down there because he doesn't have any customers. I mean, he's just waiting for me to come by once a month, you know, and get something done. And then when I do, it's so expensive. If I have to get him to make me a custom frame, it's going to be $60-$70. And I can go to Walmart and get something that initially seems to look as good for $7.95, you know, and I get it. Hey, I want to support small business, yada, yada, and all that. But what I'm saying is your customer is thinking the same thing. Wow, why would I spend $70 when I can go to Walmart and get it for a tenth of that? They're not really interested in the craftsmanship that you have in your mind. They're just interested in what people are going to think when they initially see it. Now, as a salesman, it's your job, as a salesperson, it's your job to communicate that information to your customer so that they understand why yours is worth 10 times as much. However, as I say that, that's hard. That's tough. And you have to put on your salesperson hat. You have to take off your woodworker hat. You have to put your salesperson hat on. You have to switch gears, and that's a tough sale, you know, pushing that 10 times the price uphill. That's an uphill sale. That's tough. So, anyway, as I say all that, the market is saturated. Demand is low. That's why we don't sell picture frames by themselves. There's just not enough of a demand for it, but we do sell some artwork that we do that is already in a frame that we made, and that is marketable and it's profitable. So anyway, so I say I'm on the fence because I do believe frames can be a great project for you as a woodworker to sell, but not as a standalone item. You've got to package them with something else. Okay. I've got a list here of a few, I don't know, don't have them numbered out, maybe a dozen other things. Some are from this article, some are off the top of my head. So I've got a few other things that I will say these are also no-nos. These are not things that I think are worth the time to include in your arsenal of things that you want to make and sell. Don't hate me. Don't hate me. This is just my opinion, okay? All right, here we go. Other no-nos. Clocks. Do not make the clocks. You've been able to buy those hand mechanisms at Walmart for 20 years. Everybody that wants a handmade, homemade clock, their kids have already made one. Don't do it, okay? Quilt racks, everybody's got a quilt rack. Blanket ladders, too. They've seen their day. They've moved on. Coasters, do not make coasters. I get it. It's a great, cool thing for you to make with scrap and stuff like that. I get it. Just resist the temptation because they don't sell fast enough and they're not profitable enough. It's just not profitable enough by the time you take your wood, you cut it, you sand it, you finish it, you package it. It's just not. Don't do it, okay? Bottle openers, and this was hard for me to put on the list because we still make some bottle openers, but they don't sell. We sell a tenth of what we used to with bottle openers. Wooden flags. Now, I put this on here because their popularity has dramatically fallen off from what it used to be. And on the other side of that coin, availability of wooden flags is so much greater than it was that it's driven the price down so much that for someone that is a craftsperson, unless you're able to demand that high price for your high level of craftsmanship, it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. Wooden spoons, no. My grandmother had them. Don't do it. I see them in the thrift stores all the time. Do not make wooden utensils unless you're just giving it as a gift, okay? Farmhouse tables. The trend is moving away from a very rustic farmhouse table. Can you sell those? Yeah, you can sell them. But the trend is moving away towards something that is maybe a mixture of materials, maybe with some metalwork, things like that. Maybe some turn pieces on there. But a traditional Parsons-style farmhouse table, they've had their day, okay? A wooden bath or a doormat, you know, the things they've got, like dowels, like a dozen 1-inch dowels that are all nailed onto some strips, and then you know, don't do that. My granddaddy had one. It was really cool. Don't do those. Trash can holders. I don't know of anybody that's doing trash can holders. Or potato bins. I don't think anybody's doing those anymore. A log lamp, which is something I saw on this list. Do not make a log lamp or any log craft. I don't think that's marketable enough. Hall trees, another thing that has seen its day. Console and hall tables. We will make one if somebody asks for one. We just don't make them ahead anymore because they've also seen their day. TV stands, for obvious reasons. Very, very few people need a stand for their TV anymore. Dollhouses, picnic tables, in my opinion, picnic tables are so inexpensive to buy right now, and lumber is so expensive to buy. There's not enough meat in there for you to hold on to enough labor costs to make it worth your while. Adirondack chairs, kind of the same way. I love an Adirondack chair, and I'll make them for people when they ask for them. but we have to charge a pretty good price because there's a lot in materials, and then there's just a lot of work on the bandsaw with the design that we make. So we have to charge a lot of labor. And tea light slash candle holders, it's just not my thing. I think that has also seen its day. It's a great way to use some scrap wood, you know, and you may sell a few, but I don't think it's worth it to invest a whole lot of time in. And now that is just, that's just getting my list started, okay? So now that I've like totally bashed experts out there about all those guaranteed to sell things, you know, that you can make, then your next question might be, all right, well, Mr. Smarty Pants, so what does sell? I've already told you what I think will not sell or is not worth investing your time and money into. What will sell? What will sell? Well, as before, I can't predict the future. I don't have a crystal ball. I can't tell you absolutely what will sell, but I can give you a quick and dirty list of what currently works for us and what I would invest my time in as a woodworker. Okay, so keep one thing in mind, though. As I said, this is just my opinion. This is not a guarantee. And two, this is good for the moment. This is not a prediction for next spring or something like that. This is what I think would be a wise investment of time right now. Okay? All right. So my top 10 suggestions for woodworking, for woodworking projects that you can sell and actually make money when we come back. Let's talk about cornhole boards. You know, cornhole, the fastest growing sport in America. Hey, everybody's either got a set of boards or they're looking for one. If you're looking for an awesome set of boards that can carry you through from your backyard all the way to the ESPN tournament stage, then Apple Valley Cornhole is ready to hook you up. Cabinet grade construction, built to American Cornhole League specs, guaranteed American made. And get this, every set is hand painted with your design. And I don't mean some stencil or computerized ink, and definitely not that old school vinyl. Get a set of boards that will make the neighbors jealous and have your friends begging to come throw a game. ABC is a division of Apple Valley Farm, so go to applevalleyfarmga.com for all the info on how you can order a set of your own. Apple Valley Cornhole, we've got you covered from tailgate to tournament. All right, here we go. My top 10 suggestions for woodworking projects that you can sell and actually make money. You ready? Here we go. Number one, cornhole boards. Cornhole boards. However, they are hot as a firecracker right now. But more and more people are getting into it. And the price of them is coming down. It's inching down. However, people that are making great cornhole boards are still able to demand a premium price. They're still able to get it. But if you're not willing to do that, if you're not willing to put something unique into your design, then you're going to have to be cheap. Because if you're not doing something crazy attractive to justify a $300 or $400 price for a set of cornhole boards, you better be prepared to sell them for like $150, because that's all you're going to be able to get. So, cornhole boards, that's my number one thing. That is our number one product right now. And cornhole is the fastest growing sport in America. It is our focus as far as woodworking right now. And it is trending to continue its growth trajectory for at least the next 2 years. And if it becomes an Olympic event, which they are pushing very hard to do, it's going to skyrocket all over again. So anyway, cornhole boards are my number one suggestion. Number two, cutting boards. And so I said, and I wanted to include that in my list here again, because I think cutting boards are a good thing, but again, they've got to be unique. Basic is like, that's so last, yeah. That's over and done with. These now, they've got to be different. They've got to have something to capture the imagination of the people, or that they think will capture the imagination of their guests. Okay, something different. Number three, welcome signs. And I know this goes in the face of everything that I just said. They are everywhere, and everybody's making them. But for some reason, a well-lettered welcome, you know, the big tall porch signs that say welcome or something to that effect, a well-done porch welcome sign still sells like crazy. Crazy, crazy. And if you happen to be talented with, what do they call it, with, you know, a bow type thing that you can add on there to customize it, get back, Jack. I can't do that. But that would be a great addition to your welcome signs. Great, great, great. Number four, turned bowls. Turned bowls. These are out of my wheelhouse. I don't know much of anything about turned bowls, except I know a well-crafted turned bowl never goes out of style, and it always commands a great price. So they are very profitable if you do them well. I would also add, as a part B onto that, is turned pins. So if you're good with wood turning and you can get you one of the small lathes to turn pins, that's a great way to do that. Great way to make a little extra money there too. But you have to make a lot of them, and you have to do them really well. Okay, moving on. Number five, wedding signs. Wedding signs. So if you have the calligraphy knack and you do it well and it doesn't look like crap, you'll never go hungry. I'm serious, because weddings never stop. Weddings never stop. Number six, and it's almost like a part two to number five, birth announcement signs, because babies just keep coming. So as long as you have the knack, and if you've got a Cricut and stuff like that, that's cool. Hey, I've got a Cricut too. I just don't use it very often. I mean, we made my shirt, my everyday woodworking shirt. We did this with a Cricut because I don't want to go have a bunch of them printed up. So I just made one. So you can do it, but to me, you can't replace a hand-painted sign with a vinyl decal. It just, it's just sacrilege. So if you've got the knack for it and you can do beautiful calligraphy, hand calligraphy, Jack, you need to take advantage of it and do it. Number seven, birdhouses and bird feeders. This is another perennial favorite. I don't know why, but I think because people put them outside, they don't take care of them, and then every couple of years, they have to buy another one. And so the market just continues to go through a recycling process. So I think a well-made, affordable birdhouse, they will always sell. Always. Bathtub caddies. You know, you've seen the boards that sit across the top of the tub. They got like a place for a candle and maybe a glass of wine, stuff like that. Those things, I mean, I would say we are in post-peak for bathtub caddies. But if you already make cutting boards, this is an easy addition, an easy, profitable addition. All you have to do is cut a hole in it, make sure it's long enough for the tub, and you can customize this, especially if you're doing something with a live edge or some really interesting material. I'm going to say number nine, I'm going to say kitchen tables, because although it is in my list of no-nos, as I said, a unique combination of materials or finish can definitely, I mean, tables are still insanely popular and insanely profitable for you, but you can't make just a rectangle basic table anymore because it's just not interesting enough for the market. Okay, number 10, last one on my suggestions right now would be stovetop covers. I don't know if you've seen them or not, but if you've got someone that has any type of stove, whether it's a gas burner, electric, glass top, whatever it happens to be, it's a wooden cover that just is cut to fit right on top of that stovetop. It may have handles. It may have handles cut into sides. It may have cabinet door type handles, whatever. You can personalize it also. That is always a plus, and you can always upcharge for that. That means hand painted, not with the nasty vinyl decals. Do not do it because they won't last. Do not do it because people are going to be setting food, things like that on there. So you want that to be hand painted or burned or carved. So if you've got a CNC in your shop, that opens up a whole world of opportunity for you. You can carve some stuff in there. However, remember, if you start carving things onto something where people are going to be sitting food, then that means cleanup for them is that much harder. So again, I like the idea of a smooth, flat surface like that I do a glue up, a tight glue up of. And then if we're going to personalize it, I'll hand paint something on it and then seal it with a good coat of poly. Bam, there you go. Now you're good. They can wipe stuff off. It's protected and it looks beautiful. Stovetop covers, easy to make, a little costly in material, but still very profitable right now. All right. Okay, so now that I've offended like half of the woodworking and crafting world, please don't hate me, okay? I realize many of my no's are yeses in the right setting, okay? And many of the yeses are no's when the right customer comes along. So I get it, all right? Some of you out there might be saying, are you crazy? I sell coasters faster than I can make them. You know, I get it, but I'm telling you, I know, okay, I don't want to sound cocky, but I know what I'm talking about. I've been doing this long enough. I have a general idea of what I'm talking about. Hey, continue to pursue your individual path if that works for you. But if you go against the grain as to what I've suggested here, and then it doesn't work for you, don't get mad at anybody but you, because I'm telling you, these things that I suggested not to do, they're not going to work by and large. The things that I did suggest that you do, these are very likely to work. Okay. So as always, I mean, if you've got suggestions or additions to these lists, or even if you just outright want to just argue, that is fine. You are more than welcome to do that. I'm happy. Excuse me. I'm getting all choked up. I am happy to entertain whatever you want to throw my way. I am ready for it. And one of the best places for you to do that, I'm going to tell you, will be in the Facebook group, in our Everyday Woodworking Facebook group. That's where you're going to find me all the time, most of the time, in between episodes. And I will be monitoring this. We'll have a community of people there that will be readily available to jump in and help answer questions and help give you advice and tips and share links and tell you you're wrong. No, I'm just kidding. But there will be a community of people there that you're going to join that have similar interests to you. So go to Facebook, search for Everyday Woodworking. When you see it pop up in the groups, click it, join us there. I'm going to leave a link to it in our show notes, and you will thank me later. So I want to know what you have to say. So tell me. Let's do it. Let's get it on. Hey, a last couple of things before we go. Wherever you enjoyed this episode, please take a second, leave us a great review, and spread the word to your friends about us. And of course, we would love it if you subscribed to us and became a regular listener. Also, we try to post a video of each podcast episode on our Apple Valley Farm, that's our woodworking business, YouTube channel. So if YouTube is your thing, definitely look us up and like, comment, and subscribe to us there as well. Finally, your support helps make it possible for Everyday Woodworking to continue to be on the air. So we love it if you blessed us with your financial support through our friends at Patreon. Monthly support starts at just $5 a month. And guys, that is it for now. Again, thank you so much for being here. We hope you enjoyed this. Have a great day, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time right here on Everyday Woodworking.